And like I said, the title of today's teaching is Hear Him. And last week, we ended with Jesus asking this huge crowd of probably upwards of over 10,000 people. He asked this question in chapter 9, verse 25 of Luke, where he said, "For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and is himself destroyed or lost?" And that's where we ended our study last week. Well, he went on to warn those people, the whole crowd, which included the 12 apostles that were there. He warned them about being ashamed of him and his words and the consequences of that once Christ returns in glory. Well, today we're going to hear the last thing that he says to that crowd and what follows. So let's go ahead and pick it up in chapter 9 of Luke, verse 27. Jesus speaking. He says, "But I tell you truly, there are some standing here who shall not taste death till they see the kingdom of God." Now, when we read that today, it seems pretty cryptic, doesn't it? Because you read that and you go, huh? They're all dead. You know, all 10,000 of them, including the 12 apostles. And the kingdom of God has not been set up here on earth yet. What does he mean? What could he be talking about? Folks, the Bible so often will explain itself if we'll just keep reading. Remember, we saw that when we were in chapter 4. Remember when the devil is tempting Jesus and he takes him to the high pinnacle of the temple. And he says, "Well, if you're the Son of God, throw yourself off. Because Scripture says that he'll give his angels charge over you lest you dash your foot against a stone." And remember, Jesus came back really knowing that that's not what that scripture was all about. And he came back and said, "You shall not tempt the Lord your God," or "shall not put the Lord your God to the test." Jesus knew that's not what that verse in the Bible is talking about putting ourselves needlessly in jeopardy just to prove something in the Bible. And what we did see when we kept reading, remember? We saw him go into the synagogue and pick up the scroll of Isaiah and read a messianic passage and then set that scroll down and say, "Today, that is fulfilled in your hearing." And notice what he did was said, "I'm the Messiah. I'm who that verse that I just read to you is all about." And remember the reaction. They got hacked. They grabbed him and they took him out to the edge of the city and they were getting ready to throw him over the cliff. But the Bible says that he just walked right through him and left. And the angels did have charge over him. He didn't dash his foot against a stone. He was able to walk right through that huge crowd, the whole city being out there, wanting to kill him, throw him off that cliff. And I think it's the same thing that we have here today. It seems kind of cryptic. What in the world is he talking about? But if we just keep reading, I really believe that we see. Now, some Bible scholars, teachers believe that what Jesus is referring to, he's referring to John, the apostle, in that John would receive the revelation. Remember, we just studied the book of Revelation just a few months ago, and how John did see the kingdom of heaven. You know, that he was kind of transported, you know, and saw Jesus come back riding on that white horse with King of Kings and Lord of Lords written down, you know, on his thigh, and all the glory that surrounded him coming back. But I kind of lean with the other camp, because if you notice there at the end of verse 27, it says, "will not taste death till they see the kingdom of God." It's plural. I believe, and a lot of folks believe, that Jesus is referring to what would happen just a few days after this. Look at verses 28 and 31. I believe this is the fulfillment. "Now it came to pass about 8 days after these sayings that he took Peter, John, and James and went up on the mountain to pray. As he prayed, the appearance of his face was altered, and his robe became white and glistening. And behold, two men talked with him, who were Moses and Elijah, who appeared in glory and spoke of his decease, which he was about to accomplish in Jerusalem," or at Jerusalem. So I believe that's the fulfillment, that as Peter, John, and James, they got this foretaste of his kingdom, glory. That they see him, his face is altered. He's glowing in this white robe. And Moses and Elijah is there, as it says, appearing in glory. I believe that this thing, you know, it's called this happening there, it's called the transfiguration. It's really a momentary change that God made in Jesus there, where they got to see his true glory. The glory that he'll return with when he comes to set up his kingdom on earth. Revealing to Peter, James, and John who Jesus really is. That he's the Son of God, but he's God the Son. That he's God veiled in human flesh. And for a moment, it was like that veil was pulled away, just pulled back a little bit. It was like, wow! And there he is in his glory. Now, look at verse 32. But Peter and those with him were heavy with sleep. And when they were fully awake, they saw his glory and the two men who stood with him. Can you imagine waking up to that? Huh? You wake up. Ooga! Wow! Look at this! Yeah, and he's glowing. And there's Moses and Elijah. And they're talking with the Lord. Wow, man! they're just blown away. And I always think when I'm reading this passage, when I come to these passages and throughout all the Gospels, when you get to that, I always think, why on earth were they sleeping? You know? Could you really sleep when you were hanging out with Jesus? You know, as long as he's awake, I mean, wouldn't you want to be awake? What's he going to say next? What's he going to do next? All that kind of thing. But this seemed to be like an ongoing problem with these guys, doesn't it? Remember when Jesus, he goes into the garden. He's the night he's going to get arrested and then beaten and crucified. He goes into the garden three different times. And he's in there. He's praying so intensely that he's sweating blood. Every time he comes back, there they are on the nod, you know. It's like, hey, guys, wake up. Can't you just wait with me 1 hour? You know, and you get wondering, these guys have narcolepsy, you know. Yes, Jesus. You know, but I don't think that's the case, really. All three of them would be falling asleep all the time like this. And I think, well, okay, in this case, maybe it was late. Or maybe, you know, maybe it was late like it was in the garden, but I think really that they might have either gotten up real early or maybe they prayed through the night. Jesus would do that from time to time. And you know, here it is. It's like they just can't stay awake anymore. And Jesus kept a pretty hectic schedule. You know, we talked about this last week, how that even when he tried to get away, even when, boy, I just need to get away with me and the Father, and okay, I'll take the boys with me, you know, we'll go up there, we'll pray, we'll have a little men's retreat kind of thing, and then the crowd show up. And like we saw, he never missed a beat. He ministered. He never turned them away. And so it was from the moment he woke up to the time he went to bed, he was ministering people. And so, you know, they were just probably real tired. And they're praying for a long time, and you know what? Let's be honest. We've all done this, haven't we? Haven't we all fallen asleep in prayer? Yeah, you start to pray. I've learned, when you really need to pray about something, you don't do it laying down. Yeah, you just can't. You know, it's bad enough, you know, when you're sitting up and you're getting in prayer, especially if you've worked a long day or whatever. And just a couple of weeks ago, I wasn't even praying. I was studying the Word of God. And I'm really into it, okay? I'm, oh, yeah. You know, and then all of a sudden, I wake up. And I got my chin on my chest there, like a kink in my neck. I wake up, what happened? I look at the clock. Oh, man, I dozed off for about 20 minutes. Off to the refrigerator to get something cold with caffeine. Yeah. And it happens. We fall asleep. But I think maybe the Lord might say to us today, might ask us a question, is how often are we sleeping when we should be praying? Now, sleeping, you can kind of define that as the state of being unconscious, unaware of what's going on around you, right? And that's what you're, when you're sleeping, that's it. It lights out, no, you don't know what's going on. And in a spiritual sense, Oftentimes, Christians end up sleeping when they should be very aware of what's going on. We're unconscious and unaware of maybe the temptations or the spiritual dangers or a situation that we're going to go into. Maybe we have to meet with somebody and have a heavy conversation. You know, maybe we're going to go someplace and, you know, God's going to use us or something, and we don't even know that He's got something waiting for us, and we fail to pray. We don't go to Him and say, Lord, you know, I'm getting ready to do this, and Lord, I just want Your will to be done in my life. Help me to be aware of the situations. And if You open a door, help me to go through that door. If You bring somebody to me to share Your love with, Lord, help me to be ready to share. But sometimes we're spiritually asleep. Other times we're physically asleep. You know, I've talked to a lot of people, you know, every now and then, you know, you get in a conversation, how's your prayer life? Oh, well, you know, it's really hard for me to pray, man. I'm always busy. You know, and sometimes, man, I just got to get a few more Z's. I just can't get them. You know, really, we do need to take that time to seek the Lord. That's where He speaks to us. That's where He... when I say speak to us, I don't mean just, you know, audibly kind of thing, but He really starts moving on our hearts. And then when we go to His Word, because we've been in prayer, He directs us and opens things up in His Word. It's where we get the power to do what He's called us to do in prayer. You know, there's one of the old saints, and I forget who it was, but very, very busy guy for the Lord. And he was asked, how do you keep such, I think it was Martin Luther, but he was asked, how do you keep such a schedule? How do you find time to pray? And he answered them and said, man, I am so busy, I don't have time not to pray. See, and that's really the truth. And we have to be with that mindset of, no, I need to pray. I need to be careful not to be asleep, spiritually or physically, when I should be praying. Ephesians 6:18 tells us that we should be praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end, with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. So you can't be watchful if you're sleeping. See, we should be praying. We should be watchful. And we should be persevering. Now, before we go to this next verse, I want to ask you a question of this. Okay? I've all been guilty of nodding off in prayer, but have you ever been guilty of saying something just because you felt like you had to say something? Some deer in the headlight looks. I mean, you know, are you with me on this? You ever done that? You ever open your mouth and say something, and as soon as you close your mouth, you go, oh, what? Did that just come out of my lips? Yeah. Oh, yeah. And the thing is, we've all been guilty of what a good friend of mine calls yakking and quacking. Not really saying much, man. We're just yakking and quacking. And we're going to see Peter here. He does a doozy. Look at verse 33. Then it happened, as they were parting from him. So Moses and Elijah is getting ready to depart. They're getting ready to leave. Maybe they're saying goodbye. Maybe they say, hey, I'll see you later, whatever. You know, that kind of thing. They know that they're leaving. He says, as they were parting from him, that Peter said to Jesus, Master, it is good for us to be here and to let us make three tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah, not knowing what he said. So get this picture, all right? These guys are glowing. They're talking face-to-face with Jesus. Moses and Elijah, okay? Those are two of the most revered guys to the Jews ever, okay? And these guys are Jews. And so you've got Jesus. He's glowing in his white robe. Wow, man, and Moses and Elijah, the guy who gave the law and kind of the big guy of all the prophets. They're there, man, and they're in their glory, and they're talking. And now they wake up, and they see all this stuff. Peter's got to say something. You know, it just seems like he's got to. I just imagine Moses and Elijah. Peter says that, and they look at Peter, and Peter stops, and they turn to Jesus. Is he with you? I can't help but think that Moses and Elijah might have said something like that, but sometimes we do like to talk just to hear ourselves talk, don't we? Just to hear ourselves speak. And might not have anything to say, but we say something. And you know, in those times, I have learned that it's best just to keep my mouth shut. Sometimes it is just best, just, you know, be quiet. You know the old saying, you know, it's better to be quiet and be thought a fool than to open your mouth and remove all doubt. I think it's best that. But I think it's especially important when it comes to teaching and preaching the Word of God. I never want to get up here and just say something, whether it's right theologically or whatever. I never want to get up here and just say something. I only want to get up here because God has given me something to say. I think that's so important for pastors to understand that. That we have to sit before the Lord. We have to pray. We have to seek Him. We have to receive from Him first before we would dare speak for Him. And Peter, you know, he's just yakking and quacking here. You know? And Luke tells us here that Peter said this not knowing what he said. So Luke brings out that aspect, that sense of Peter not knowing the scope of really what was going on and the implications of what he was saying. That it was not time to set up the kingdom of God on earth yet. No, you're not going to build, you know, a couple of tents and all that stuff. Jesus needed to go to the cross. Moses and Elijah had to leave. They had to go back to heaven. Now, Elijah will be back, and some say Moses with him, and some say Enoch. Remember when we studied in the book of Revelation and we looked at the tribulation during that first half of the tribulation, there were the two witnesses in Jerusalem. Elijah will be one of them. Some say Moses will be the other. Some say Enoch, but he'll be back. The deal is, though, it wasn't time for them to stay. It wasn't time for Jesus to set up his kingdom. Now, Mark gives us a little bit different insight in it. Mark 9:6, he tells us, because he did not know what to say, for they were greatly afraid. He didn't know what to say, so he just said something. And, you know, it is good for us to be here. That falls under the duh category, you know? Yeah, it's good for you to be here, no doubt. But if Peter were here, you know, I'd have to tell Peter, I feel your pain. Because I have done a Peter so many times. When I was a young Christian, I got saved at 19. And after looking for a church that taught the Bible, that believed in the Bible, my wife and I ended up at Calvary Chapel at Downey, Pastor Jeff Johnson, and just great teacher, man, great man of God. And man, I looked up to him. I respected him. I admired him. He taught me so much about the Bible, so much about what it means to be a Christian. And when he would walk by me and say, hey, Tony, how you doing? And maybe especially if he'd stop, I would be so nervous, you know, and I would have in my mind what I wanted to say. And sometimes I'd want to ask him a question, you know, or I would want just to bless him and let him know, hey, man, what you shared 2 weeks ago, man, that really spoke to me. God really spoke to my heart. And I went home and it did, you know, and all that stuff. So I would start to say something. I would know what I want to say. But I was so nervous being around him that I'd say something really stupid. And sometimes he'd walk away from me with kind of a puzzled look on his face, you know. And I wonder now if he was thinking, oh, poor Tony, he's backsliding back, doing drugs again. Yeah. But as he would leave and maybe walk around the corner or something like that, I remember just standing there, young guy, man, 19, 20 years old, my head down, shaking my head going, he knows I'm an idiot. He knows. And so, Peter, I feel your pain. You know, the deal is, I think we've all been there, right? We can relate to poor Peter here. You know, somebody said, poor Peter, he's got hoof and mouth disease. He's always putting his foot in his mouth, you know? But look at verse 34. While he was saying this, a cloud came and overshadowed them, and they were fearful as they entered the cloud. So imagine that, okay? You awake, there's Jesus having a conversation, Moses, Elijah, they're glowing, all this stuff, you say something stupid, and as you're still saying something stupid, this cloud, this strange cloud starts forming, and it doesn't just form and it's above you, it says they entered the cloud. In other words, the cloud came and rested upon them, it enveloped them. Can you imagine? Oh, Lord, toast, man, I should have kept my mouth shut. But look at verse 35. And a voice came out of the cloud saying, this is my beloved son, hear him. It's like God the Father is saying to Peter and to James and to John, this is my only son, God in the flesh, the Christ, the Messiah. What he has to say is important. Be quiet and listen to what he has to say. Peter, you're yakking and quacking. You need to be listening, man. You know, you're doing this, and you should be doing that. And so they're there. And wouldn't you like to go back in time? I mean, think about it. You know, we read about Peter, and yeah, he says this, he doesn't know what to say, he's freaked out and all that kind of stuff and all that. But if you could, wouldn't you like to go back in time and hear, what were they talking about? Huh? You know? And wouldn't you like to hang out with Jesus and walk around? I mean, when he was teaching, when he was talking and doing miracles and all that kind of stuff, knowing what you know, okay? Knowing who he is and the significance of being in his presence, wouldn't you be quiet? You'd probably be taking notes. Oh, that's good. Yeah. Whoa, I don't want to forget that. You know, but we would. And they kind of don't grasp this whole thing. Now, I have heard Christians on numerous occasions, and I've said the same thing, where I've said, I wish I could go back. I wish I could hear the words of Jesus, those things that weren't recorded. Those things that he talked to this guy, or Moses and Elijah, what did he say? We don't know. I wish I could go back and hear that. We have to be careful, okay? Because we could do that. And we kind of get sidetracked that way. We go, oh, yeah, it was probably really important. And you've got all those heretics out there that say, oh, yeah. And then they come up with all of this nonsense, really saying, oh, this is what he said. And they've got all of these different false gospels and all that running around, especially back in their day. There's some that are starting to resurface. But they're all a bunch of nonsense. They're not the Word of God. And we have to be careful about that. Listen to what John says. John the Apostle, as he is writing his account of the life and death of Jesus, as he starts winding down his gospel, he recognizes that he's not recording everything that Jesus said and did. And in chapter 20 of John, verses 30 and 31, he says this, "And truly, Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name." See, God made sure that we have what we need. He knows what we need. He loves us so much that he gives us what we need. And the most important thing for us is to believe in Jesus Christ, to put our trust, our faith in him, so that we can have eternal life, because it only comes through him. But God has given us. He's made sure of that, that we have everything we need. Everything that is sitting on your lap right now, the Bible that is sitting on your lap, that is everything you need. And in fact, Peter tells us the same thing in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. He says, "As his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue." See, if you want to hear all the words of Jesus, well, you got it in your lap. Just open it up. Start reading it. Hear him. That's his word. We call it the Word of God, right? Jesus is God in the flesh. He is the Son of God, but he's God the Son. He's the one who really spoke to us through his word, breathed out. In fact, 2 Timothy 3:16 says, "All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness." All scripture, folks, from Genesis to Revelation, all of that is the Word of God. And there are those that you will hear, and sometimes you see them on TV, especially like on the Discovery Channel, the History Channel, where we can't really just count on the Word of God, that it is the Word of God. I mean, the Bible, you know, is written by so many men and all that stuff. You know, some of it might be the Word of God, but we really get, you know, it's like, I just want, sometimes when I'm hearing those guys and they're blasting the Word, I want to reach to the TV. It just angers me so much, because when you read the New Testament, and you see what Jesus said about the Bible, when you see how important the Word of God was to Jesus, remember, he's the one that said, not one jot or one tittle, that's like not one dotting of the I or one crossing of the T will pass away from the Word of God till all things are fulfilled. See, all Scripture, folks, is his Word. And in fact, that word inspiration there, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's kind of an unfortunate translation in the English because it really doesn't convey to us what the original language, the Greek underneath that, is saying. The Greek language under that is really saying that it wasn't something that the writers of the Bible were inspired, like they took it in, like you and I might be someplace out in the forest or by a lake. Oh, it's beautiful. I was just inspired to write this poem, you know, or I was inspired to paint this picture, kind of thing. See, that's taking something in. The words there are actually something happens that it goes out of. It literally means all Scripture is breathed out by God. So if you want to hear all the words of Jesus, the things you think you might have missed, well, read the Bible. Because it's his word. It's all breathed out by him. The things that God hasn't included in there, well, the things that we don't need. But we do need everything that pertains to life and godliness, he says. Everything that we need to live life and to do it godly, he has given to us. By his word that you have there in your hands and on your lap, and by the power of his Holy Spirit who lives in every believer, we have what we need from him. And folks, we need to hear him. We need to be spending time in his word. How often I think, you know, God would say, hey, you're doing this when you should be doing this. You know, reading his word, getting in and studying his word. And we need to be doing that. You know, we're in tough times right now. I don't think anybody would argue about that. And especially for Christians, I really think that things are going to get tougher. And we need to be hearing him. We need to go to him and find out, what does he have to say about the issues of the day? How should we be responding to the people around us? You know, what does he have to say in general? That's why we go through the Bible. Why on Wednesday nights and on Sunday mornings, we go through the Bible. And why we encourage you to be reading the Bible on your own at home. If you're not going through the Bible in a year with us and you want to, we have some of those out on our freebie rack out there. You can just pick up one of those little trifolded papers there that have all the scriptures that you can be reading along with us. And so you can be hearing him every day. You can open up his word and be hearing him so he can speak to us. There's a lot of competing voices out there, isn't there? There's a lot of talking heads, a lot of people saying a lot of different stuff, a lot of yakking and quacking, you might say, you know. But I think the Father would say to us today, Jesus is my beloved Son, hear him. Listen to what he's got to say. And folks, understand, hearing him just isn't, you know, getting the auditory signals in your ear, but it's taking it in. It's really listening, paying attention. Hearing what he has to say and then responding rightly to it. Oh, folks, that's so important. Because the Word of God is alive, it's powerful, it's sharper than any two-edged sword. He can correct us with it. It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness. And when the Word of God is spoken, we need to take it and we need to listen to it and ask him, Lord, does this apply to me? Are you trying to say something to me? Am I doing something in my life that you're trying to say you need to change and I'm not doing it this way? We need to have ears to hear him. Now finally, in verse 36, it says, when the voice had ceased, Jesus was found alone. But they kept quiet and told no one in those days any of the things that they had seen. You can imagine the impact. That whole thing, you know, with Jesus glowing and the Moses, Elijah, and all that, and saying something stupid, and the voice coming out of the cloud. You're in this cloud, this voice speaks, and it's God the Father. And it's all over. The cloud goes away, and there's Jesus standing there all by himself, alone, looking at you. Can you imagine the impact right there? This was something that I really, you know, I really don't think they could ever look at the Lord again the same as they did before that. I mean, they had some clues as to what was going on, but imagine how that whole thing impacted. Matthew tells us that at this point, they were on their faces and greatly afraid. Folks, we would be too. This would be so much for us to take in. We would be on our faces. And it was such an awesome thing. Jesus did tell them, don't tell anybody about this until I'm crucified and resurrected. But they didn't go around bragging about this. And remember, these guys had a problem with who was going to be the greatest, right? And these three guys, they were arguing all the time. Remember, even James and John got mommy to come in and say, hey, you know, when you come into your kingdom, would you set, you know, James and John on one on your right, one on your left? And so if they would have just been following the natural course, they would have, hey, it was three of us, man. We got to see the transfiguration, man. Oh, yeah. You know, but they didn't. They were humbled by this. And folks, you know what? When you're in the presence of the Lord, that's the effect that happens. There's a humbling that happens, not pride. That they didn't go around bragging. Folks, I think God wants to speak to us today and ask us the question, what voices are we listening to? What voices do you listen to? What are the voices in your life? The people that are saying things to you, because like we said, there's a lot of competing voices out there. People tell you, oh, no, do this, do that. No, that's wrong. This is right. Who are you listening to? Who are you hearing in your life? Ungodly counselors? People that are giving you advice that's not based upon the Word of God? You know, maybe friends and family that aren't necessarily mature in the Lord. They're not using the Bible to tell you what you ought to do. They're going by traditions and this, that, and the other thing. But it's not the Word of God. You know, is it the talk shows? Are those the voices you're listening to? Whether it's radio or TV? I don't care whether it's conservative or liberal. It doesn't matter. Are those the voices that you're listening to? Or are you just listening to yourself? The only sounds you want to hear are the ones that you make. Or are you hearing Him? I think God wants really for us to search our hearts on that. Now more than ever, folks, we need to pray. We need to be awake. We need to go to His Word and hear Him. Let's commit to do that, huh? Let's stand and pray.